This is episode 52 of Our Modern Heritage, the new home and family culture podcast. I'm your host, Jody Chafee. In this episode, I just want to do a short solo episode to talk about some of the things that I've been learning about family culture and some of the struggles that I've been dealing with a little bit lately, but some of the things that I've been really learning and have been helping me on my journey of shaping and designing my family culture. And first, I want to start out by telling you a story, because last night I had a dream. I literally had a dream just last night that got me really seriously thinking about family culture. And so it's kind of interesting. I don't know if dreams are a big deal to you. I don't know. They're not really that big of a deal to me, but they are interesting sometimes. And with this dream, I just woke up kind of startled and thinking about what the meaning could be. And so here's what happened. Basically, in my dream last night, I had a dream that my family and I, we'd gotten this lovely brand new car, and we were going to park it in some city somewhere for some reason. And we were trying to work out how to hide our valuables in this car so that we could leave it there and not attract attention through our computers and wallets. I don't know why we were leaving these things in the car. Anyways, we were trying to figure out how to hide all this stuff. And for some reason, I left the driver's seat, I got out of the car, and I hadn't put it into park. And we turned around, and this car was rolling away. And I started freaking out. And so I started chasing after this car. And ironically, it just like followed the, it steered around the curves and it was rolling away and there were all these hills. And I was trying to flag people down to try to help me. And I just kept running down after this car. And I could see in the distance these like highways of busy traffic that I thought, oh my gosh, if I don't stop my car, it's going to crash into these busy highways. And so I couldn't see the car anymore. It was just like gone. And I'm chasing and I'm running. And finally I catch up to the car and the authorities have, it's crashed and the authorities are already there, clearing the debris. And I'm super upset about it. And I don't know what to do. And I start to kind of panic. Well, that's where I wake up and I'm like freaking out. Like, you know, when you wake up from a bad dream and you're just like startled, right? And I'd never woken up from a bad dream that wasn't like about my family or my children, like, you know, something like that. So that was a little bit different. I was like, this wasn't really a scary dream, but it really startled me. And I woke up feeling scared, you know? And at first, so I woke Michael up, or I woke up and put my daughter back to bed. She comes to our bed. And when I wake up, I put her back to bed. And I came back and I started telling my husband about it, telling Michael about it. And I was like, what is this? Here's something for you to ponder the meaning of. And I described what happened. And at first we were both like, oh, well, it's about chasing the worldliness and trying to, you know, chase after monetary or temporal, you know, luxuries and things like that. But then I laid there thinking about it a little bit longer. And it really started to sink in that we were distracted by the details of the situation. We were preoccupied by these minute, really kind of unimportant things, and the things that were like are actually worldly things. And, you know, and then the vehicle escaped us and it disappeared, and then it crashed, and I could see the outcome, the potential outcome, all these highways up ahead, you know? And so it started to sink in that we were distracted and we let our vehicle, that of our mission and our purpose, slip away, and it escaped us. When that vehicle was lost, our family was separated because I was off chasing this vehicle, and the highway was the future that would destroy our vehicle if we aren't in it, controlling it. And where would my family be on that highway without a vehicle? So the vehicle, you know, I've said this before in this podcast and with guests and in introductions and things, that the vehicle is our family culture. The family culture is that vehicle that takes us towards our vision or the mission that we have for our family. And that more and more, as I think about the importance of family culture, and how a lot of times, you know, we have a family culture. Everybody has a family culture. That in fact, you know, I've been reading this book called Zero to One. It's a business book and about starting a business. And I want to read this quote. It said, it said, corporate company culture doesn't exist apart from the company itself. No company has a culture. Every company is a culture. A startup is a team of people on a mission, and a good culture is just what that looks like on the inside. And then I translated that. Family culture doesn't exist apart from family itself. No family has a culture. Every family is a culture. And we are on a mission to change the narrative around the power of families to reshape the future. Each family has a unique mission within that context, but when we are intentional, we will reshape the future. So what does it mean to be intentional? And that's something that I've really been thinking about. Because if everybody has a family culture, a lot of times that culture came from our parents or whatever, and we don't ever question it. We say, well, that's just how it's done. And I've said this in another episode before when I was listening to The Secret Garden. And, you know, Mary comes from a place where, from in India, when she was taken care of by her ayah. And, you know, any time that she questioned why things were done a certain way, they would say, oh, it's just the custom. That's just the custom. That's just the way it's done. And so I interpret that intentional family culture means that we need to reject the status quo if it doesn't serve our family. It doesn't have to be confusing. We just need to make a decision. And that involves sitting down to figure out what the vision is, what our mission is, what our values are, and to get clear on those things. And this is something that I've been really thinking about lately, because last week, my parents and my sister came out to visit. And if you've been watching if you watched my coping strategies challenge, that I talked to my sister Jackie, and she helps me, and I talked to her a lot. Anyways, but I talked to her a lot while she was here about some of the things I've been struggling with and thinking about. And we talked a lot about how I'm often feeling frazzled by my to-do list and not being able to focus. And she has been where I am, and because she has older kids than me, and observed that I am always second-guessing myself and what I should do, and that I need to get clear on my goals and objectives. My mind exploded when she told me this. I was like, you're right. That's exactly what's going on. And it's not because this was any new information. I mean, this is stuff that I've already learned about and I've talked about in my coping challenge. You know, I talked about boundaries, getting clear on our boundaries, and I've talked about vision and getting clear on your why and what we're doing. And I talk about that in the podcast here. So I understood these principles, and I've also talked about scarcity and how feeling insecure and having the fear of missing out creates stress. And that's what my second guessing has always been about, that I'm like, well, maybe I should be doing this or maybe I should be doing that, but I really should be doing this. I don't know if anybody else struggles with that. Basically, I mean, I homeschool my kids, so they're home, and I'm like, well, I should really be spending a lot of time with them and focusing a lot of my energy on them, but I should also be making sure my house isn't always trashed all the time, and I should be, you know, I really want to work on this podcast and my other goals around it. And so I start to get really confused, and I second guess myself on what I should be doing. And so if you have hobbies or if you have any other personal interests, then you start to feel kind of guilty that you have those things when you want to, or you feel like you should be with your kids. And so that happens to me sometimes. And so that's what I've been learning about this idea when my sister said, you're just second guessing yourself. And I was like, you know, that's so true. I am always second guessing myself. I am always feeling so neurotic that I'm never going to be able to get to everything that I want to do. And so that's what the problem is. Like, that's what my problem has been. My mind has been frazzled by not getting clear about my boundaries, not having clear objectives, and not setting aside those things that are not priorities so I can give my full attention to what really is important. That's so important. When you're trying to establish your family culture, to get clear on that vehicle, you know, get in the car and figure out where you're going. Because if you're getting distracted and you don't know what to do, what are you going to do? And that was another thing that my sister and I had talked about, because, you know, she heard some talk sometime when her kids were younger, where this person was talking about your life as a vehicle, driving, and that there are some people who are touring the world and driving around the country and going on road trips. And then there are people who are just kind of driving around the city, or there are people who are just driving around the neighborhood. And then there's the people who are just sitting in the garage, going nowhere. How many of us are doing that? I don't want to sit in the garage for my whole life or my children's lives. I want to start the car, get out of our driveway, and go somewhere. And maybe I don't know where we're going at first, but to just start, just to get going on the path. And then the path will maybe begin to reveal itself, but we have to get in the car and start driving. And so there's more to this idea, though, of getting clear on the direction and where we're going. And here's what I learned about that. I lately heard a scripture in General Conference, and it's a scripture from the Bible. General Conference is a semi-annual conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I had this aha moment again when I heard this scripture. And the interesting thing is the scripture that what I got out of the scripture was not completely what the talk was about, but it was really interesting. And so the scripture is in James in the Bible in the first chapter, and it starts in verse 5 when, it's about asking God in faith, nothing wavering, for answers. And then it goes on to say, "For he that wavereth," let me turn my page here, "for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." And then the verse 8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." When I heard that, I was just blown away. After talking to my sister about second-guessing myself and questioning what I do all the time and doubting myself, that means I was being double-minded. I knew this was my answer. By always second-guessing myself, not setting my priorities, I am being double-minded and feeling unstable. I was focusing on the minutiae and losing sight of the big picture. I still get this way a lot, and it's something that I really want to work on. I have long to-do lists, and I often doubt my abilities, but when I establish my goals, what is truly important, and ask God for help in faith, nothing wavering, then the way opens up. So take this example, however it sits with you. Maybe you don't struggle with second-guessing yourself, but how often has double-mindedness crept in and left us feeling confused about other things? All of us need to get clear on our boundaries and focus on what is really important without getting too distracted by the minutiae of life. If you have that figured out, please tell me, because I really would love to hear how you've worked this out. And I just finished listening to the book, How to Raise an Adult, and there's a chapter in there about how we, and this goes along with the idea of setting our boundaries, how to raise our own children to be adults, we have to set an example, a model for them what it means to be an adult. And in the book, she gives this example of a mom calling her own mother to lament that she was sitting at a rainy soccer field, and this is terrible, this is awful, this is misery, and her mother going, "You don't show your children that sports are important to you by sitting at their games. You show them that sports are important to you by going to exercise and joining your own sports." I thought that was so interesting and so inspiring, because it's so true. And that when we show our kids what we value, then they will know that it is an important value to us. You know, if fitness or health is important to us, we can't sit over them and hover over them, go, eat your vegetables, and then never eat vegetables. We have to eat the vegetables. If we think that spirituality is important. We can't hover over them and say, read your scriptures, go to these activities, unless we are doing those things. They need to see us reading our scriptures. They need to see us going to our church activities and things like that. You know, so whatever your values are, our children need to see that we are adulting. And that was the question that the author of How to Raise an Adult said, is that if we want to raise an adult, we want to raise adults, but are you an adult? I was like, well, sometimes. But how often do we hear this, that the meme that's like, oh, I'm tired of adulting today. And so true, how true that feels sometimes. But sometimes I think we think that adulting means that we have to like work on our kids or be authoritarian or something. But adulting just means that we know how to be happy. We know how to set our own boundaries. We know what our own priorities are, and we know how to take care of ourselves. And that helps us to demonstrate to our kids how they can learn to take care of themselves. So that's what I learned from that idea of you know, setting boundaries, taking care of ourselves, leading out, and taking care of ourselves as a means of showing our children what it takes to enjoy life and that there's something to look forward to. So for me, I need to keep my vision clear by reinforcing it every single day. Like if I don't have a vision board or if I don't have a list or something that's, you know, what my vision is, what my objectives and goals are, then I begin to forget. And so that's why it's important to establish like a mission statement or a mantra that helps you to reinforce your vision, because that means that you're in the car, you're driving, and you're going places. And then the minutia takes care of itself. Because another thing that the author of How to Raise an Adult talked about was that we need to be able to discover and know who we are aside from being a parent. And, you know, Michael and I have had this conversation lately where we're like, well, who are we really? And my thought was that we can't discover who we are by sitting around going, who am I? And just like, it's not going to just like pop into our heads and we're not going to just suddenly have an epiphany of who we are. You discover who you are by on the path, by getting on the road. That's when your identity starts to unfold and you start to begin to realize who you are. And this is something that is, it's really silly. And if you haven't seen this movie, it might not work, this analogy, but I really like the movie, The Matrix, and how, you know, who's Morpheus is the guy's name that thinks that Neo is this the one who's going to free the world from the Matrix, okay? And they go into the Matrix and they visit somebody called the Oracle, and supposedly this Oracle can see into the future, right? And Neo asks her, am I really the one? And she tells him that he's not, but that Morpheus is going to risk his life and even give his life for his belief that he is the one. So they start to go back to, they start to unplug from the Matrix to go back to the real world, and Morpheus gets captured. And so they realize that this is the moment where Morpheus is going to sacrifice his life to prove that Neo is the one. And so Neo's like, but I'm not the one. And I need to go back and save Morpheus because he's going to die for this belief that I'm the one when I'm not the one. But it's in the process of going back to save Morpheus that he discovers that he is the one. So we can't sit around and expect or hope that our identity or our purpose or our mission is going to reveal itself. We have got to put ourselves into situations or get out there, do the work, start doing things that will reveal who we are and what our purpose and what our mission is. And so that's the work, that's the challenge of discovering this mission and this purpose is, you know, do the things that will establish the intentional values, the intentional goals and you know, identity of your family. Just start doing those things. Start having family meetings. Start going on family retreats. Start establishing communication between your family and establishing free time to allow your family to have those opportunities to have conversations and things like that, and to realize your relationships, and maybe even having a family reset. Okay, this is something that's a Thomas Jefferson education thing that I learned from Rachel DeMille, is she talks about having a family reset, where you go back to your basics of togetherness and doing things together and purging your life and your space of things that don't serve your family. And that's just the beginning. But that's the way that we try to figure out who we are, what we want to get out of this experience of life. And it goes back to a talk by Jeffrey R. Holland that he gave at Brigham Young University, Idaho. I think it's called The Pursuit of Happiness, where he talks about how happiness is fleeting if we sit there and go, I want to be happy. I want to be happy. But if we do the things that make us happy, then we will find happiness. And those things include, you know, doing things that are our talents or service or, you know, just doing some work that helps us to figure out who we are and what we're capable of. And you're not going to establish that or figure that out until you learn how resilient you are, how capable you are of different things. That's the way to establish happiness. That's the way to find your path and your identity and your mission. I also make a list every day of things that are on my mind and circle two or three of the most important things, or I try to put them into a place. You know, if you've ever heard that phrase, a place for everything and everything in its place. I also read in a book, Getting Organized, The Clear and Simple Way, that everything in its time, and a time for everything and everything in its time. That's what it goes. And so sometimes I'll make that list and I'll assign a time for it. But I also try to assign like blocks of time. And if you go on to Jordan Page's YouTube page, she has a video about time blocking. It's really interesting. And so I have blocks of time where I try to focus on certain things. So like first thing in the morning, my first block is like self-care and preparing for the day. And my second block is how, you know, I take the time for homeschooling and being with my children. And the third block of the day is about self-development and personal development. And so I try to focus on my personal goals during that third block of the day. And then the fourth block of the day for us is about family time. And it's about coming inside, restoring balance in the home, and getting dinner prepared and sitting down together as a family and doing things together. So anyhow, that was more detail than you probably needed, but maybe it was helpful. So that's what's going on and the things that I've been learning. And so I hope that it's been helpful to you, that the important thing is that we need to be present, to be present with our children, to be present for inspiration, to be present for our families and their unique situations. And so that's what I want to leave with you today, and hope that this was helpful. I hope that it was insightful. And if you like this idea of having more of these kind of solo episodes and the way that I can just share my thoughts about some things, I'd love to hear your feedback. I'm taking a challenge, like a business challenge right now, to develop more content. And they recommend having a post every single day. And so I'm trying to decide if I want to do an audio post every day, if that would overwhelm you all or myself, or if I just want to do like a written post every day. So I would love to hear your feedback, and this would be in addition to the interviews that I would post every week. So you can email me at Jody@homeandfamilyculture.com. Just go on the website, homeandfamilyculture.com, and there's a form there you can fill out with your comments or anything like that. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram at Family Culture Podcast, and on Twitter at _FamilyCulture. Thank you so much for listening. I love getting your feedback. You can like, rate, and share on your favorite broadcasting medium or on social media, like I just told you about. Come check out my show notes and resources at homeandfamilyculture.com. Thank you again for listening. Mother Teresa once said, "If you want to change the world, go home and love your families."